You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
The month of Ramadan. The Prophet was always generous. There are so many narrations of people coming and asking the Prophet, and at some point, him saying that I don't have anything left to give you, or sending someone to go and ask all of his wives if they had anything left, and they would come back and say there's nothing left to give. He was a very generous person. But then in the month of Ramadan, the Prophet took this to a whole different degree. And today, I'm not just talking about generosity that's financial. That was yesterday's discussion. Today, I want to talk about generosity beyond just contributing with your money. Generosity of a heart. Establishing real brotherhood and sisterhood and unity within the community. Putting others before you. The human being always wants to be at the front of the line. When you're checking out at Walmart and there are three people in front of you, your heart desires to be at the front of the line. Even though you know those people that are standing in front of you are standing there right for you. They came before you, they stood in the line, but your heart doesn't want you to stand in line. You tell yourself, only if there was a way that I can go to the front of the line. Because you always want to put yourself above others. You want to give preference to yourself. When spirituality doesn't come by serving yourself, spirituality comes through serving others first. And this is kind of like a synopsis of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, constantly giving preference to others. In every element, every aspect of his life, if another person needed help, the Prophet ﷺ was always there to be at the forefront. And the same thing we see in the life of the companions, the Khulafa ar-Rashidun, that these were people who were always in the front line, putting other people in front of them. When the famine hit during the Khilafah of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he took an oath that he would not eat until the Muslims ate first. Even though he had wealth of his own, even though what they were giving him was not decreased from other Muslims, but he said, how can I be their leader if I don't feel the pain that they're going through? And he would turn into his stomach, and he would hit his stomach, and he would say, make all the noise you want, because his stomach would hurt. They say that he went through such difficulty during that year of famine that the skin, the color of his face had darkened. His family member would plead to him, please eat, please eat. And he would strike his stomach and say, make all the noise you want out of hunger. But I won't eat until the Muslims eat first. And when he saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the Muslims, when the famine came to an end, and the sky was showering down, he was the one that was most happy. Not because he was going to bring food home first, but because he knew that other Muslims would go to sleep hungry and satisfied. Not hungry anymore, and satisfied tonight. This was the state of the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and he says to him, إِذَا طَبَخْتَ مَرَقَةً فَأَكْفِرْ مَاءَهَا وَكَعَاهَا زَجِيرًا. That when you cook some sauce for yourself, or you cook some soup, some curry for yourself, add a little extra water. Now you must be thinking, the companions asking the Messenger of Allah, why should I add extra water? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, because when you add extra water, وَكَعَاهَا زَجِيرًا, now you can share with your neighbor too. You won't just eat alone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَلَّذِي يَشْبَعُ وَجَعُرُهُ جَعُرُهُ إِلَىٰ جَمْدِهِ. That a believer is not one who eats till he's full, and his neighbor is next door to him are hungry. That's not the believer. The believer doesn't put himself above the world. The believer puts other people in front. The believer is the one, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. They fed other people. People who were not in the best circumstances and they didn't have a hope of being paid back. But if I took a wealthy person out for dinner, I know in my heart that one day he's going to pay me back. I take him out today, tomorrow he'll take me out too. But in taking out a person, miskinan, wa yateeman, wa asira, a poor person, taking them out for dinner, or taking an orphan out for dinner, or providing food for a prisoner, do you expect any return from these people? Yes or no? No. Why are you doing it? Because you care for the value of that human being. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, they say, these people who feed them, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We are feeding you so that you feed us back. We're feeding you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. You have to thank us, you have to reward us. إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. We have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of a day that is very severe and its punishment is not bearable. We are interested in that day. Allah subhanahu in the punishment of that day. So ya Allah, protect us because we've been kind to your creation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a narration, Allahu fi amil abd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continuously assist and help his servant as long as that servant cares for other people. Don't let your heart become one that is self-obsessed. My education, you forget about your parents and your siblings. My wealth, you're not providing for the poor anymore. My house, my this, my that. Because when you become by yourself, slowly, slowly, the number of people that you actually care for will decrease. And believe it or not, a time will come where the simple lesson that your parents taught you from childhood, always look after your brother and sister, a time will come in your life where you won't even care about them anymore. Your own brother will come and ask you, please assist me today. And you will say, nafsi, 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 nafsi. I'm worried about myself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not nafsi, nafsi. What was his response? Ummati, ummati. My people, let them come first. I share this narration with you. One man, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read an ayah of Quran, and he cried and cried and cried. Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, Messenger of Allah, why do you cry? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm worried, about what will happen on the Day of Judgment. And Jibreel alayhi salam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the Day of Judgment, He will make you happy. When the sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda, you will be pleased, Allah will take care of you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this to the Prophet, that you will be taken care of, what's the first thing that He says? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then know that I won't be happy until my entire ummah goes to Jannah. Until everyone of them will go to paradise, I won't be completely satisfied, I won't be happy. Go and learn a lesson from your own mothers. Go and learn a lesson from your own fathers. Look at the people of the world who have big hearts and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated them. Abu Sa'idi, last year we heard about him passing away. And then not only him, but there are so many people. People who opened up their hearts, they didn't have love to give, but they had a lot of love to share. They cared for other people, genuinely cared. We see this in our community. Over the past few days, and even today, we have refugees in our community that are attending our masjid so that they can help themselves and collect zakat. And believe it or not, alhamdulillah, I was speaking to Dr. Abdul yesterday, he was telling me that mashallah, the sadaqah has increased and people are giving and we're able to distribute that wealth. But what I heard, per package, depending on how much we've collected, each family was giving around $150. What is a family going to do with $150? I don't understand. If you have four kids, a husband and wife, what are you going to do with $150? We live in America. If someone gave you, for your six people, $160, what would you do? $150, what would you do? You would say, what am I going to do with this money? I could probably get an Uber, five, that's it. That's one way. Otherwise, this money's not going to help me much. Not that they're ungrateful, but hunger is not, smiles and joy and patience and excitement that the Muslim community is here to help us. And mashallah, our community has that. But this responsibility has to continue on. This is not just a matter of providing a small token of appreciation. These people, by coming to our masjid, they done us a favor by giving us the opportunity to be there for their khidmah. Just as the Ansar saw themselves as honored because the Muhajirun gave them the opportunity to do their khidmah. It's not just a matter of a one-time donation. If one of you has the real heart of a believer, inshallah, I make this intention myself. Even if you can't do it today, just make the intention. Say inshallah. Take the responsibility that one day when Allah gives me and if I have the opportunity, I will sponsor a whole family for a whole year, inshallah. What I provide for my kids, I will take the responsibility to provide food for their kids. Where my kids are clothed, on the season when I buy my kids clothes, I will send clothes there too. On the day when my kids get their gifts, I will give gifts there too. Because that's the heart of the believer. The heart of the believer doesn't feel content knowing that another person is in pain. Al-mu'minuna kal-bunyan, or in one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minuna kajasadin wahid. One body, that's what the believers are like. إِنِشْتَقَ عَيْنُهُ إِشْتَقَ قَلْبُهُ. If the eye is in pain, the entire body is in pain. وَإِنِشْتَقَ رَأْسُهُ إِشْتَقَ قَلْبُهُ. And if the head is in pain, the entire body is in pain. There was a famous scholar from the subcontinent by the name of Sheikh al-Hind. He was known as Sheikh al-Hind, rahimahullah. He was imprisoned for a period by the British armies that were occupying India at the time in Malta. and he was tortured there extensively. And his students, when he was being imprisoned, they said to the soldiers, arrest us too. They said, you haven't done any crime. So they said, tell us what crime we need to commit to go with our sheikh. And then these students were also then arrested, and they were taken in prison with their sheikh. And what they used to do is, they would do khidmah. One of the students, he said that when we were in the prison with sheikh in Malta, Ramadan came, and we were fasting, and there was no one to lead the Arabic prayer. So the sheikh was very old, he couldn't lead himself, so he said to one of us, memorize the Quran and lead the Arabic. That student said, I would memorize it just during the day and lead the Tarawih at night. I became Hafiz of the Quran in 30 days in that prison, which is a very interesting. He's actually written, there's actually a book written on his time in Malta and in that prison. Finally, when he was released, he gave a historical speech. Sheikh al-Hind rahimahullah gave a historical speech when he was released from prison. And he said that in that time while I was in that cell, I kept thinking that what brought the Ummah to where it is today. You have to contextualize India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that whole region, what it was going through. You know, war, and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people dying, and back and forth. So he said, I was wondering what brought our nation to where it is. What were the problems? And he said, after giving this so much thought for years and years and years, I summarized it down to 2 points. There are two things that if we fix them, Allah will honor us. But as long as we ignore these two things, we will always remain dhaleel and disgraced. The first thing, the ummah has lost their connection with the Quran. If they don't connect themselves with the Quran, there will be no izzah or honor for them wherever they go. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this ummah because of the Quran. Tonight could be the day before the 27th night of Ramadan. This night, what's the honor? What's special about this night? Inna anzalnahu. The honor of this night is the Quran. What's the honor of the month of Ramadan? Shahru Ramadan al-Ladhi unzila fihi. The Quran is a source of honor. Wherever the Quran goes, honors with it. Wherever it goes, whoever takes it into their heart, whoever brings it into their practice, the Quran will follow them and honor them and bring honor to their family. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the child who memorizes the Quran on the Day of Judgment, his parents will be given these beautiful chairs or minbars to sit on. And they will sit on these high thrones, and on their heads they will be given taj, a crown. And that crown will be so beautiful, it will be so beautiful, that those who won't have that crown will envy and say, only if I had that crown in my head today. That's the nature of the Quran. Even those that are related to the person who is Hafiz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them too. And the second thing Shaykh al-Hind rahimahullah ta'ala said, the second reason why I see the Ummah is where it is today, is because we are divided, and the love is lost in the heart. And we become groups, we are no longer one big family. Ukhuwah and brotherhood has left us. You know, this is the reality. People, when they sit at iftar, they sit with people from their own race. And this is not just, you know, an issue with a particular family or a particular, when someone's having a party, they invite people from their own race. This is not just one group or one family. This has become a universal issue. As far as this voice goes, trust me, there are people who will agree that this is an issue in their communities too. Our friends, who are they? People from our own race, people who are relatives of ours. Those Muslims who are right upon them, every person that was to their right and their left, they had the desire to hug them and kiss them on the forehead and say, oh my dear brother, make dua for me. Tonight is Laylatul Qadr. If you make dua for me, it's very possible Allah will forgive me. I will make dua for you too. These who are the Sahaba. There's a narration that three of them, they sat next to the Kaaba and they said, let's make dua for one another. One will make dua for the others, the other two will say Ameen, and like this. And that narration, I don't want to go into it, the du'as were very interesting, the participants were very interesting, and Allah accepted all of their du'as. One became a leader, one became almost a khalifa, and the other person became a muhaddith. These people, they had that much trust in one another. So that's a source of brotherhood and community we need to develop again. And this is the very same spirit that Ramadan starts with, when we start off with the virtues of feeding one another for iftar. And this is the very same virtue, the very same principle, the very same ethic Allah wants us to enter the Ramadan with, and that's why we have Salat al-Fitr. You start your Ramadan every day, and you end your fast every day with giving other people preference over yourself, and remembrance of other people, and ending your Ramadan with the very same attitude, that where I provide for myself, I need to provide for other people. I know for a fact there are many people in this congregation, and this itself is a litmus test. If you're wondering where your heart is when it comes to love for the Ummah, here's a great litmus test. And I don't want you to raise your hand, I just want you to reflect in your heart. How many of us have all been given ourselves to fit? They say I'm fulfilling an obligation, but their attitude is such that, you know, I think they're being forced or coerced to go pay back the debt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you this opportunity. You don't even care to show up. Discharge yourself at the fitr today, tonight. Don't let another night pass by without you discharging your zakat al fitr. Anyway, we close off this halqa, this khatra, this gathering of ours, to remind that one of the main lessons of Ramadan is to learn to love other people. Learn and love. Love everyone around you. Share the love and put other people before you. When you're standing in line with God, don't cut the person in front of you. Don't desire to be deserved before them. Let them go in front of you. You eat first. If you eat first, it'll bring me joy. Isn't that the attitude a mother has towards her child? Yes or no? Or does she cut a child off and say, I'm going to stand in front of mine? Never. She'll say, you go first. She'll give her child the food. She'll make sure her child sits down. She treats every of her children with so much love that those children see it. And that's the same love we need to have in our communities. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bonds our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes from our eyes the colors of race. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes from our hearts the division of language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes from our hearts these dividers of wealth, the poor and the rich. And may we all become one. Because by Allah, all of us, every single one of us, may Adam, but Adam means wrong. We are all the children of Adam alayhi salam. And Adam alayhi salam was created for the soul. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته